when we take healthcare and insurance as two domains with a common use case, let's say on shaping clinical research and care, let's say you have data points from outpatient medical treatments. When you pair these data points with algorithms that is probably derived from insurance claimed over a period of time, this brings you the analysis and derivations which can precisely measure the medical supplies for pharmaceutical companies, for example. And this is precisely what can be achieved using computer data.
This is Season 2 of Voices of the Data Economy, a podcast supported by Ocean Protocol Foundation. We bring to you the voices shaping the data economy and challenging it at the same time. Listen to founders, tech policy experts, and pioneers in impact investing, all sharing their relationship with data. Hello, and welcome to a new episode of Voices of the Data Economy. Today we have Srikant Kaja with us. He's the product owner of Accentric Data Marketplace and general manager of emerging technologies in Daimler Southeast Asia. So what is Accentric? Accentric is a decentralized marketplace by Mercedes-Benz, powered by blockchain. But you will hear more about this as we go on in the episode. But before that, hello and welcome, Srikant.
Hi, Diksha. Thank you for having me today.
So we are actually particularly excited to have you as a guest. And, you know, we are going to talk about a lot of things for the first time in this episode. But before we really dive in, the first question that comes to our mind is, how did actually Mercedes-Benz get into blockchain? And what was the thought process involved, you know, when you thought about, okay, data economy plus blockchain? So could you take us through that?
Yeah, thank you, Diksha, for having me today. And I'm also very excited to share more information about what we as a company is doing in this space. And I'm sure we all know that this is a very exciting space to be at the moment. We as a company, we have a strong culture of embracing change and also adoption of new technologies. And blockchain is not an exception to this, right? So our management CTO actually believes that blockchain will be our new operating system, which is quite an ambitious target by itself. So what we are also doing in this space is working on certain projects to see how we can enter into the Web3 world, into NFT space, build some decentralized applications. So there's a lot going on within the company. The topic of blockchain itself has started quite some time back within the company, where there were some departments that are formed with a clear focus on some of the use cases, and there were some initiatives. We were also part of some consortiums and some communities within the blockchain space, for example, Hyperledger and other communities. But now the adoption has actually been picked up. So there's a lot more happening right now. One example to that is maybe you heard about Mercedes-Benz joining Aura Consortium, which is a consortium of luxury brands to get into NFT and possibly towards the metaverse space. Now, that's a huge, exciting project for all of us. You know, it's taking one giant step towards entering into this space. On the other side, we are also developing certain decentralized application, for example, Accentric, where I'm personally involved right from day one, which is a B2B decentralized data marketplace for companies. So what does it mean? We are building a decentralized data ecosystem where the companies can actually buy and sell data by retaining the complete data sovereignty. And this is built in a way that we are coming up with a business model which is not merely for Mercedes-Benz, but also for other companies in the ecosystem. And this is something which we believe is game-changing, because we are doing something using this state-of-the-art technology with edge computing capabilities and to provide value and contribute towards the data economy. And it's not just a data marketplace, but the bigger vision is also about how can we use this data ecosystem and provide to the developer community, enterprise developer community, where they can build decentralized applications on top of it. So this that's a bigger vision behind Accentric. And I think this is one example of how technology meets business, how blockchain and Web3 can actually bring some business benefits directly to our counterparts or for any other company for that matter.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And, you know, when you talk about data marketplaces, so we have particularly covered data marketplaces a lot in this podcast before, first with Bruce Pahn from Ocean, and then Trent spoke about it in one of the previous episodes. But still, for people who are not familiar, tell us what is Accentric and what is the problem that you are solving for enterprises when it comes to managing a data economy?
Accentric, as I mentioned, is a B2B data marketplace using the superpowers of blockchain. But what is interesting about Accentric is that it is not just Mercedes-Benz focused. We consider Accentric as a horizontal technology that can span across multiple verticals and domains. What do we mean by that is you can have multiple domains, whether it is mobility or automotive or healthcare, and the companies within these domains can exchange data using Accentric while retaining the data sovereignty. And this is all possible by having data with the data owners, and we do not store any data on the platform. So what happens is usually when you have decentralized data, which is otherwise not exposed to outsiders, with this concept, with the architecture that we have, you can still have data under your control, but use Accentric as a runtime to share data externally and to monetize it. So that's a foundation for Accentric. There are a few interesting aspects here. Firstly, you don't need to store data in a centralized data location. You can keep the data where it is, and Accentric will connect to the data sources exchange it and to be shared externally. This opens up a new horizon of opportunities for enterprises, not just for sharing for some business purpose, but also to generate revenue out of it, contributing to the data economy. So that's the first part. Secondly, as I mentioned, Accentric is domain agnostic. It is not just for mobility or automotive domain. You can have Accentric as a horizontal layer across multiple domains, which also enables you to share data across domains for some common use cases in the industry. And finally, and the biggest point and the biggest feature that we have in terms of decentralization is we call computer data. In technical terms, we call it as privacy-preserving technology. What it means is it's kind of an enhancement of edge computing, where when you have certain data that you do not want to share externally, you can still do so by running compute jobs under your control. And this is all done using Accentric. And it's a win-win situation, because for the consumers, they get insights through this data analysis process. And providers, they can still monetize and have control of the data while retaining the sovereignty of the data. So all aspects together, this is why we are excited to actually build this product with these unique features, which is not just for our company, but also for other enterprises within the industry.
So you're building for the ecosystem.
That is correct.
And not just for yourself. Yeah, which is very Web3. And talking about Web3, you know, I think when we talk about Web3 within the industry, we are always talking about how we are in a bubble, you know, and mainstream adoption is so difficult. But we are getting there, you know, and the very fact that you and I are talking on this podcast is evidence of that. So when you talk about Accentric, what were some of the challenges and bottlenecks that came while building Accentric data marketplace, and how did you overcome them when you were dealing with enterprises?
I mean, with every product that we develop, obviously there will be challenges, and especially when you are discussing about a technology like blockchain, which is still at the early stage of adoption, at least in the enterprise space, we have to consider a lot of aspects, whether it is legal or security aspects or even the process related, for example. So some of the challenges that we faced are, first of all, on the blockchain network, the fundamental concept of blockchain is around every transaction incur a gas fees. So we want to make sure that we don't want to deploy networks where the gas fees is significantly higher for users to actually do transactions on the platform. So for our decentralized application, we have carefully analyzed and took a decision that we will deploy it on Polygon POS network as a initial network, because we have a multi-chain strategy. And with that, it gives a significantly lower gas fees. Like, for example, with one US dollar, you can publish up to 200 data assets in Eccentric. So this is significantly lower. You get the benefits of Web3, and at the same time, you are also removing the obstacles. So that's the first thing that we have done. The second thing, we are also aware that when we are bringing enterprises into the blockchain or the Web3 world, there are also some aspects that we have to provide a seamless feature for the enterprises. Like, for example, how do I actually convert from fiat to crypto or crypto to fiat? That is required for, to actually transact in the Web3 application. But at the same time, I'm also able to convert that into fiat. And for this purpose, we partnered with some of the companies who can offer this solution, where the enterprise, the customers of Eccentric can simply use this partner network and have an agreement in place, and they can do the fiat to crypto transfer or vice versa. So these are some of the challenges that we faced, and we came across a solution. But obviously, there are I can go on explaining a lot more. But it is evident that what we observed over the last 1 year is that there are solutions that are coming up, which is making the Web3 adoption much more easier for large scale enterprises.
So I'm sure you had a lot of partnerships, and you know, to make this happen. So then comes the next question, you know, which is the role of Ocean Protocol. So how did that initiate, and how, what has really Ocean brought to the table when it comes to the Eccentric journey?
Ocean Protocol has been our strategic partner for the last couple of years. The idea started and with the proof of value that we developed together with them in 2020, when we were at a very initial phase of brainstorming this whole vision behind Eccentric. And once that is done, and so that proof of value is done, and it was shared across internal business units. And then that was a time that we established a strategic partnership, and we decided to, you know, scale this product into a real world production application. So this resulted in the development of the pilot project. And Eccentric is actually built on Ocean Protocol stack. Whether it is access control or compute to data or even the platform components, Eccentric is built on it. However, we added some features to make it more enterprise ready. So Ocean Protocol is a foundational technology, and Eccentric is built on that, adding more features to make it more enterprise ready for large enterprises or mid or mid-scale enterprises to enter into Eccentric. To, you know, it's like enterprise-grade data marketplace built on top of Ocean stack.
Yeah. And hearing this example makes me so happy, because we have spoken about this like in previous episodes in theory, you know, and now we actually have a practical use case of it.
Yep.
So let's talk about, you know, concepts like privacy preserving. And usually they are a little technical to understand. And, you know, we have an entire episode sometimes when we talk about privacy preserving. So when you are in the process, how do you explain concepts like compute to data, asset management token, or even like fine-grained permissions when it comes to being enterprise ready?
I think you're right that these are probably a lot more technical terms for the general audience. But concepts like this actually may appear abstract to enterprises who are actually also new to the Web3 world. But we make it a point to ensure that all these concepts are broken down into smaller pieces, and they are translated in to applications in the business world. And this is the role of our customer success team to make sure that these are actually explained and understandable for the users in the simplest way possible. So that is the work that we have done over the last 1 year. And this is also seen in how the use cases are represented for enterprises across industries. A simple use case could be, when we take healthcare and insurance as two domains with a common use case, let's say on shaping clinical research and care, let's say you have data points from outpatient medical treatments, when you pair these data points with algorithms that is probably derived from insurance claimed over a period of time, this brings you the analysis and derivations which can precisely measure the medical supplies for pharmaceutical companies, for example. And this is precisely what can be achieved using computer data. So what happens in this case is data is kept under the control of the hospitals, clinics, or even the insurance companies. The algorithm or the models that run on this data is actually brought to this data. So compute jobs ran, and you get the resultant output. So this is precisely computer data for healthcare and insurance. Likewise, there can be n number of examples that we can do for other domains as well. And you also mentioned about the tokenization and fine-grained permissions. I think it is very important that when we say enterprise-grade data marketplace, we also have to take into consideration certain aspects of access control, for example. Like an enterprise can say, I want this my data product to only be shared to certain companies, and I intentionally do not want it to share to someone else, for example, just as a random example. So what we have done is when using the technology that we have, there are two tokens that we came up with. One is the ERC20 token, which is a data token. It's like a movie ticket. You buy a movie ticket, you exchange the ticket to watch a movie. Likewise, you buy a data token, you exchange the token to buy an asset, as simple as that. On the other hand, there's one more token on top of it, which is a ERC721 token, which represents your ownership of the data, data product. So this token gives you a much more privilege in terms of what you can do with the data product. I can assign a revenue account for it. I can set someone to manage my data product and things like that. So in a way, it is combining the aspects and features of Web2, but in a Web3 world using the tokenization concept. And likewise, on top of it, we also developed something called fine-grained permissions, where if you are the owner of a data product, you can also define on who can or cannot access your data, which is actually a very important feature for enterprises, because they might have some contract process and things like that, and they only want to share data with certain parties. And this feature enables them to do that. And throughout this process, when we say data sovereignty, it is only the data owner who has all these capabilities, not even the admin of the center. So that's where the data sovereignty is also maintained throughout.
Now, talking of innovation, I understand that Accentric has just recently transitioned into an enterprise release, and that's huge news. So what are some of the features that Accentric has in this version 1.0, as you call it?
We launched the product yesterday, and this was a very important milestone for all of us. We went live with beta in last year, November, and in the last 6 months, it was mainly focusing on how do we build the enterprise release based on the feedback that we get from the companies and from the personas that we define. And a lot of work has been done to get this product rolled out. And it was not just a one team work. It was a team dedication across towers, whether it is the product development team, whether it is a group of designers, the customer success team, the product managers, everyone came together to build this product and launch it into the enterprise release. Long story short, it is about enhancing the product, bringing more features which are tailor-made for enterprises, for big companies to enter into this space and make value out of the data. So that's in summary about the enterprise release. And it was also built in a way that we considered user centricity as the key focus. So it is not just about using state-of-the-art technology, something like Web3, but we also built in a way, how can users seamlessly transition from Web2 to Web3? So we built in a way that not just for the Web3 native users, but also for the Web2 users, how they can actually transition into Web3 and still operate in the marketplace just like any other platform. And what we have done for that is to have rigorous user testing sessions. So we had a lot of feedback from data providers, data consumers, and also from personas outside this context to give feedback about the marketplace, what information they would like to see within the marketplace. Is the marketplace easy to perform transactions, either as buying the data, selling the data. So there's a lot of work that has been done. And all this feedback was actually translated into the product backlog, which we incorporated into sprints, and then we rolled out the product. Talking about the features, obviously, we have to make it big when we launch the enterprise release compared to the previous version that we have. So I will highlight three main features that we rolled out, which is very, very important. And we believe that this has something which is quite essential for the enterprise. The first one is a strong KYB process. I think we all know that data is very critical in terms of data privacy, data security. As a data owner, the companies have to have a control on who can access this data and how they can protect the data. And to tackle that, we came up with a strong KYB process. So all companies who are onboarded into Ascentric goes through a validation process where they sign a legal contract. This is something that we had multiple discussions with the legal team to come up with the right contract. The objective is to make sure that it is only the validated companies who have signed the contract be in a position to transact in the marketplace. Right? So that gives a sense of ownership for those companies and also for other companies who are part of it, that there's a qualified data providers and consumers are only transacting in the marketplace and not everyone with a Web3 wallet. So this is very important. Also the feedback that we got from companies, because they need to know who are part of the marketplace and who can consume their data assets. So that's the first thing that we have done. The second feature is more of an advancement on the tokenization layer. In beta phase, we have something called a data token. Each data product that you publish in the marketplace, which you want to sell in the marketplace, is associated with a data token. And every consumer purchases a data token and exchanges with a data access. In simple terms, this data token is like a movie ticket. You buy a movie ticket, you exchange a ticket to watch a movie. So similarly, you buy a data token, you exchange it by getting the data access for the time that is stipulated by the data owner himself or herself. Now we have taken this to the next level in terms of tokenization, because it is not just about access of the token, but it is also about the ownership of the data product. And this is where we introduced ERC-721 token, which is, in simple terms, it's an NFT standard. What happens today is when a data owner publishes the data asset, they also get a ERC-721 unique token, which claims the ownership of that data product for the data owner. So tomorrow, if I move to a different department and I want to transfer the ownership of this data product to someone else, I can simply transfer this token to a relevant department and they claim the ownership of this. So it is similar to NFT, how when you buy an NFT, you are the owner of the digital art or whatever is behind that NFT. Same way, it is also the concept with the data product. We call it as a centric asset management token, because it's a management token which represents your ownership to the asset. And the last one that I want to highlight is about the ability to have revenue account. So this is also the feedback that we got. Usually in a Web3 space, in a blockchain world, the transactions happen between wallet to wallet. And it's also the same with Ascentric. So you publish a data product, I consume it, and whatever is the price that you set is transferred from my wallet to your wallet. But this doesn't work in all scenarios, because for large companies, they usually have a central financial team or controlling team who takes care of the revenue, because the data owner at the end is an employee of the company, but the data belongs to the company itself. So there's a central department who takes care of these finances. So what we have done with Ascentric V1 is to have the ability to set a different revenue account for receiving revenue from your data product. So imagine that you have a department, you have 10 data products, and there's a central finance team. So all these 10 data products can point to the central finance revenue wallet. So whoever is consuming, the revenue goes to the finance wallet, finance team. But you as a data owner will still have access to manage the data product. Like, for example, changing the endpoint, updating the metadata, controlling the access and all those things. But just from the revenue perspective, it goes to the central finance team. So this is also another one that we developed based on the feedback that we got. So overall, These three are the main ones, but of course, there are UI enhancements. We came up with a completely new user interface. We added more details. So this lot happened before we launched the V1.
Okay. Wow. Thank you for the detailed description. But I guess there's more, and you know, there's one follow-up question probably that I have. So when it comes to like the data access part, what are the other enhancements that have been done on data access in the Accentric version 1.0? And probably for audience who are not very familiar with what we mean by data access, you could also elaborate a bit on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you brought a very important point on data access, because whether it is a data marketplace or data ecosystem, it's very important to understand, especially for the users, what level of data access is provided and how do they actually access it. So this is what we have done. In the beta phase, there is an endpoint that you can tag, which means you can have an endpoint. It can be in your local storage or cloud environments or data centers or even an API endpoint. As long as, because of the decentralized nature of the marketplace, as long as the edge node that you select is able to access your endpoint, you can actually go ahead and publish the data product. But however, this doesn't cover all the scenarios. There are scenarios where the data owners wants to have flexibility in terms of limiting the results. For example, if I have data, which is a global marketing data, global analytics data, and I have a consumer from Germany, and I have another consumer from Singapore, I want to filter the access such that the Germany consumer only get access from the analytics data from Germany, and the consumer from Singapore, they only get access to the data from Singapore, for example. So this is something which is important, and how we translated this into a technical requirement is to have something like a parameterized API. So your endpoint can accept parameters, where you as a data owner can set parameters saying that you can select the parameter, and only based on the parameter that you set, you get access to the output file. So what this gives a lot more flexibility to the data owners, that they can now control what level of access and what data they can share with the consumers, and not just give everything to them, even if it is not relevant for the consumers. So this brings in new opportunities from the data owner perspective, flexibility to control the access and monetize the data. Also from the consumer perspective, to get the right data that they need based on the parameters that they set.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, that was clarifying. So already a lot has happened, it seems. And, you know, since we last spoke. And so what next can we expect from Accentric, and what are your future plans in terms of building and scaling from where you have already reached, you know, from like what from Accentric version 1.0, what next?
Yeah, I think a lot has happened. You pointed it out rightly. So we focused on product development so far. So we focused on bringing product to life, which happened yesterday with the enterprise release. But this year is also the banner year for us, where we want companies to adopt the platform and experience the Web3 technology and the data monetization and data sharing. The main focus that we have right now is, now that the product is ready, we want to onboard companies and get data products on board and create some kind of a supply and demand to implement use cases. So that's our immediate focus now that the product is live. But that's not all, because while this is happening on the adoption side, we will also scale the product. We will also build the product with a lot more features. One of the areas that we are also looking at is, right now it is deployed on a blockchain network. We deployed on Polygon, but we are already looking into how do we stabilize the network for the users. And because of the multi-chain strategy that we have, what is the next blockchain network that we can deploy to give a lot more flexibility for the users to select the blockchain network of their choice? So there's a lot happening on one side. We will market the product. We also have some leads in terms of the customers onboarding, which also includes Mercedes-Benz data products. So the adoption and onboarding will happen. But on the other side, it is also about constant product development, coming up with more features, getting feedback from the customers, converting that into product backlog, and building the product for the future.
Okay, so things are looking good. And thanks for the great overview, Srikanth. But if you wanted, our listeners to take away one line or one message from this episode, what comes to your mind? What would it be? We usually ask this to everybody, and it's nice to see sometimes the answers are so different from what we spoke about. So what's your take?
Absolutely. I think you mentioned something at the beginning of the podcast that we are contributing to the ecosystem. I want to also echo on that statement. We are not just building a product, but we are building it for the community, and we are contributing to the Web3 ecosystem. So I think we believe that blockchain has a huge potential, Web3 has a huge potential, which is why we invested into this, which is why we developed into this product. And it is time that we also welcome other enterprises to get to know more about Ascentric and to join our network and be part of this exciting journey.
Thank you, Srikanth. That's a lovely note to end at. And thank you for being on the episode. And if you enjoyed listening, this is to our listeners, please leave us a review on Apple, download this episode. It really helps us a lot. And thanks for listening.